Tonight we're talking about obsessions. Harmless habits versus destructive obsessions. So I asked you guys kind of what your screen time was. And so before I get into the lesson, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We're thankful for your word, which truly can be revealing in many of our blind spots in life and in areas where we need to change and we need to turn more to you, completely to you. So help us to recognize the areas where we need to grow and give you control of our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many hours a day does the average teenager stare at a screen? Let's play high-low. Is it A, 1 to 3 hours, B, 3 to 5 hours, C, 6 to 9 hours, or D, 9 plus? Katie. It is C, 6 to 9 hours. However, you guys were kind of defying the odds. I was mathematically doing some averages, and there was only just a couple of you in that 6 range. So you are sub-average teenagers. Praise God for that. That is good. I am proud of you guys for being below mediocre in your screen time usage. Okay. All right. Now, who spends more time in front of a screen, guys or girls?
Guys.
No.
Who? Ray, stand up if you think it's guys. Stand up if you think guys spend more time on a screen than girls.
Guys?
You three are standing alone for good reason. Nope. Guys do spend more time on the phones. Okay, you guys can get down. All right, congratulations. Teenage guys spend an average of 8 hours a day looking at a screen. Okay, right? Sometimes you get that, like, you feel like your phone vibrating. You're like, oh, I got a text. You got to go. You got to pick it up. All right, so let me ask you this. How many times does the average American, including grandma, look at their phone in one day? Average number of times they look at their phone in one day. High, low, let's peg it at, well, just guess, and I'll say higher or lower. Alyssa? Higher. Eleanor? Lower.
100.
Lower.
86.
Slightly lower.
78.
Slightly higher. 80. 80 times a day we look at our phone. Yeah. I can't do the math. Yeah, picking up 5 times an hour. Okay. So some of you do not have cell phones, and that's great. That maybe that's a personal choice, maybe that's a parental choice, and if it is a parental choice, I completely get behind that and respect it. Because screens can sometimes lead to obsessions. How many of you might even say that you might slightly be obsessed with your phone? I mean, if we're going to be honest, there's a few people being honest, okay? And a few of you, that's okay. Maybe you are not obsessed with your phone, but some people are. Okay, let me ask you this. How would you define obsession? Rylan, do you have an answer? Okay, if someone or a parent maybe tells you to stop doing it, but you don't, you might be like, I don't care what the consequence is. I'm going to keep going towards whatever it is that I am have my focus on. That's a good answer. Thank you so much. Luke?
Physically can't get yourself to stop.
Alyssa? Not being able to live without something. Yeah, those are both really good but slightly different answers. Grant? Ooh, yes, Katie.
When your mind, or whatever you think about when your mind goes into
neutral. She listens to me sometimes. That's what you think about when your mind goes into neutral sometimes. Okay, Mara.
When you think about it during a sermon.
When you think about it during a sermon or class, right? Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Would you say the biggest difference between passion and obsession?
That's a good question. Okay, I'm gonna turn that back to our general audience. His question was, what is the difference between a passion or a harmless habit or a healthy habit and an obsession? I'm gonna answer that question tonight, but let's just go ahead and talk about it right now.
Well, passion is something you love doing, but you don't need to do it all the time.
And an obsession is something that you feel like you have to do all the time and you can't, like, not stop doing it.
Okay, you can't stop not doing it. You can't not do it. Okay, I like that. What else? Can we build upon that? Difference between a passion and obsession. Dan?
I'd say an obsession resembles an addiction.
Okay.
And a passion is a choice to do it.
Okay, choice to do it. And then an addiction is, I can't help myself but do it. Okay? Callie, then Elizabeth, and Elisa. Elisa? Okay, I'll do those three, and then we'll keep going. All right, Callie first.
I think passion is more like driving towards something consciously, and an obsession is like being stuck in a loop.
Stuck in a loop. Huh. Driving towards something. Passions drive us towards something, towards a goal. Obsessions get us stuck in a loop. We're like on an IndyCar track, right? And we keep going around and around and around and around. There's not actually, like, you know, it's not a straightaway. Okay, I like it. Elizabeth.
Passion is more ambitious. You're striving towards it, and obsession is you can't get enough.
Okay. Yeah, driving to it. Get it. Yeah, I like that. And the last one, Ellie.
I'd say a passion is something you're doing for a good reason.
Okay.
Or more for a good reason, whereas an obsession is something that may not be good.
Okay, doing it for a good reason. I like that too. Webster, the dictionary guy, defines obsession by saying a preoccupation or filling of the mind of someone or something continually, intrusively, and to a troubling extent. So, if it's not a phone, what's something that you guys might be obsessed with? Luke. Okay, sports. That's fair. What else? Grace. Jesus. Good. That's great. All right, Mara.
Paul Dano and Justin Bieber. No, hey. I don't like Justin Bieber.
I don't even know who the other person is. All right. How many of you might be obsessed with Stranger Things? No, not really obsessed. Okay. What defines an obsession, right? Those are easy questions. Okay. What else? What are some other things that people are obsessed with? Riley. Okay.
I know you're hiding out there, computer nodes. I will find you.
Computer nodes. All right. Anything else that you guys are obsessed with? What are some things that... Okay, Carter?
Money.
Joelle?
Plus something I'm obsessed with, but something going along the difference between obsession and...
Passion.
A passion, or for some people, they are involuntarily obsessed with something.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. That is a good point. I mean, there are a number of reasons why someone might have a hyperfixation on something that is not leaning towards an addiction, being outside of their control. It might be bodily, necessarily kind of outside of their control. Okay. Were you getting to my question, what are some of the things that your peers are obsessed with, or just that you are obsessed with?
Security.
Okay, we said money, security. Popularity. Want to be popular. Katie. Shopping. Grant. Clothing. Clothing and shopping. Callie.
Success or perfection.
Elizabeth. Food. Yeah. Thomas.
Power.
Obsessed with power. That's always like the villain's demise. Mara. Work. Huh? Validation of other people. Mrs. Rubel. Grades are something people totally obsess over. Not personally, you guys, but like other things that students get obsessed with. Themselves, which we talked about, right? The God of self. Okay, we talked about it. What else?
Freedom,
okay. Okay, in a context we talked about this morning, Trent talked about freedom and how we should view that as Christians. Elizabeth? Approval or self-worth. Okay, great. People also, I don't know, maybe y'all are not into this anymore, but like obsessed with like boyfriends, girlfriends. Like that's a thing, right? You get so obsessed with the other person that all of a sudden you know, this obsession is like, oh, well, I got to hang out with my boyfriend or girlfriend tonight, so I didn't come to youth group. Or, oh, I got this obsession, like I'm so obsessed about my job right now or making money, all these things. Like things that start to take the position and your direction of your life because you think about it intently all the time. It's driving what you do. Okay. Caleb, can I ask you this question? Have you ever seen someone's obsession or passion, because you posted, but I'll say obsession, be a positive thing? Or how have you guys seen an obsession be a negative thing? One or the other? Sure, be positive.
You guys be really passionate players.
Okay.
Drive to work hard.
Okay. Drives them to work hard. I'm passionate about playing soccer. How could soccer be an obsession in a negative way?
I think about. It's centered on you doing the best you can.
Okay, centered on you doing the best you can. Joelle. You said tear people from the inside out? Yeah.
So it can be something that, although it may have some consequences, push people to neglect themselves or others to focus. In general, just tear someone apart and without them realizing it's really interesting.
So that's why we're talking about it tonight. Carter, I'll let you say one thing and then we'll jump in.
Obsessions can stop people from thinking rationally, causing them to like put themselves or someone else in harm's way.
Ooh, obsession. You stop thinking rationally, which could ultimately result in you or someone else be put in harm's way. Dan.
I think a passion turns into obsession when it takes over something that should be a priority in your life and it bumps it down the list.
Ooh, that's good. A passion can become an unhealthy or destructive obsession when that passion now changes places on what is an appropriate priority list in your life. Okay? So you might be so passionate about something, and while you're passionate about it, your priorities are in order. Your relationship with God, honoring your parents, school, and then all of a sudden this passion jumps up. You now start disregarding good Christian friends. You start disregarding spending time with God. You disregard respecting your parents. Like, you start placing this thing now as a priority above all those things. And that's when that passion could possibly be transitioning to something that's unhealthy. Rylan, last one. Okay. So an obsession could sometimes take over good things like sleep. Or sleep could be an obsession. Depends on where you're at with that. All right. So maybe you don't think of dependency on your phone as an obsession, but let's be honest. Our obsessions are simply the things that have our attention. They're the things that we run to almost aimlessly, like Katie said. It's where your mind goes when it's in neutral, okay? Compulsively or obsessively. If that's the definition, I think that just about everyone in this room might have an obsession of some sort. For me, I used to be obsessed with a number of things, right? Something that was silly but really got my attention was fantasy football, right? That was an obsession of mine. It was at first just a fun game, right? To play with coworkers or fraternity brothers, and then all of a sudden it like got real, and I got super competitive about it. And I realized when I was sitting in Sunday school class or church, and I'm thinking about my lineups for as soon as the game started at 1 o'clock, like I realized something had to change for me. And I don't change really well. I stop cold turkey really well. So I just had to like say, all right, that was fun for a while. I'm done, because I realized it was taking a bad place in my mind. Now, along the same lines, fantasy football, that's a game. How many of you guys enjoy playing fantasy football? Okay, it makes maybe watching Sunday afternoon football just a little bit more fun, right? But then there was something else that I've been obsessed with. Travis, what is this? Can you say it a little bit louder for everybody? Grandpa's ashes, okay? Yeah. All right, I did not write that post-it note on there. Some of you guys have heard this story. Luke McNichols, this is not Grandpa's ashes, okay? But it looks like it could be, right? And it's heavy, because how many of you guys, okay, it's heavy. But this was an obsession of mine in an unhealthy way. For those of you guys who know what's in this box, what's in this box? All right, so it is poker chips, right? This is not Grandpa's ashes. But when Josh Krumenacher came by at my office one day, he said, hey, what's that on your desk? And I said, straight face, that's my grandfather's ashes. We're heading out to the lodge this weekend. It was a very special place for him. And he asked that his ashes be spread in the pond out behind the lodge. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, and then I think he wrote the grandpa's ashes on there. But poker was something in my life that was an obsession. I was really, 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 sounds arrogant, I was really good at it. But being really good at gambling isn't really a good thing to be proud of. And I was obsessed with it. I was thinking about it all the time. I was thinking, okay, how many games can I play at a time? Because that's when online poker was becoming a thing. And I could be playing like 12 different games at the same time and winning at all of them. Or we could be playing in person. And that was an obsession that was unhealthy. Because what happens when people start to play poker a lot? What could happen? They could lose a lot of money. What else? You get addicted, right? It's the high, it's the adrenaline rush, it's doing that. But yeah, you could lose a lot of money. Which, would that be a good thing for? I stopped playing poker before I got married. But anyway, that could be a bad thing, right? For a husband or a father or a family person or really anyone, you could be gambling away money. You would not be stewarding your money well. And thankfully, I was able to stop that obsession before I ever lost a penny. I wasn't going to allow myself to go down that road, but I know personally very close friends who had to hit rock bottom before they learned to walk away. So in both of the cases, fantasy football or poker, or relationships when I was in high school, I mean, I was obsessed with having a girlfriend, you know, throughout my high school years, and that was not a good obsession. My attention was taken up by an obsession. Sure, some obsessions can be relatively harmless, but what we might think are harmless habits will one day often have the power to become a dangerous addiction the rest of our lives. So this summer, we've been referring back to the passage in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. How many of you guys remember what that says? Exodus 20, verses 1 through 3. Or what's verse 3? You shall have no other gods before me. Yes. Yeah, so the passage in Exodus helps us to understand the idea of idolatry, the worship of false gods rather than the one true God. No, you're probably not literally worshiping the God of Baal like some people did in the days of the Bible when it was written, but you're probably worshiping one of the gods we've talked about. So maybe you're worshiping the god of me or you, yourself. Maybe you're worshiping that god. Maybe you try to be the boss of your own life, but to a degree it moves beyond a healthy desire for independence and into an idolatry of yourself. Many of you in high school are desiring independence. You want to prove to the rest of the world that you are mature enough and you can be independent and you are ready to move out and you're ready to move on to the next phase. I would encourage you guys to hold on and learn as much as you can from the adults in your lives around you right now. While you might feel that you're ready for the independence, I would lean into the Father and pray for wisdom to know that there's still so much to be learned, okay? Maybe you worship the God of stuff. Maybe your stuff has become so important to you that instead of owning stuff, your stuff is starting to own you. Or maybe, like we talked about last week, the God of worry. Maybe you allow yourself to focus so much on what you don't have or what you might lose that you've allowed your worries to become the boss of your life. Or maybe, like we're talking about today, you worship the God of your obsessions. Whatever's in this box. I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in this box for you. You guys have named a lot of obsessions. Put all those inside this box. Box of obsessions, right? Maybe there's an obsession or two in your life that has gone beyond as Caleb said, a simple, harmless passion or a habit to the point where now that obsession is now in charge of your life. Whatever gods we've been worshiping, here was God's message to his people thousands of years ago, and it still rings true today. You shall have no other gods before me. If you have a Bible, I hope that you do. Flip over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 21 through 23. I think Jesus understands just how powerful obsessions can be. Like last week, we read a portion of what I consider to be the best, greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, and I want to go back to that passage today. Matthew chapter 6, 21 through 23. Would someone like to stand up and read that very loudly for the whole group? Anyone, anyone, stand up and read. You all are in high school. Please lead by example. Thank you.
For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness?
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you just for being quick to do that. This isn't part of my lesson tonight, but I'm just thinking about the eye being healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. What does the Bible say if your eye causes you to sin? What should you do? Gouge it out. If your hand causes you to sin, what should you do? If your thumb causes you to sin, what should you do? I'm just kidding. That was a bad joke for someone who had a table saw accident. All right. Was that okay? I hope it was. If not, I repent. I'm so sorry. Okay. All right. How many of you guys have ever heard the song? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Lord up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. What's the next part? Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Lord up above is looking down with love. So be careful, little ears, what you hear. Okay. That's what I think of. Sorry, you guys had to put up with my singing. I'm really, really sorry. That's what I think of when I read these verses. Be careful what you focus on. Be careful what you focus on. Be careful what you let into your life. Wherever your eyes go, your entire body follows it. It's really hard to make it through like an obstacle course if you're like focused on something else and you're trying to zigzag. It's hard to do. So where your eyes go, your entire body follows also. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's think about what your focus has been on lately. What have you been looking at? Stupid, like, 45-second videos, right? Probably. Okay, what else? What have you been thinking about? I spent a lot of time thinking about this trip that's coming up. I spent an exorbitant amount of time thinking about this trip. What have you been listening to? Is it music that is going to be pointing your heart towards God or pointing your heart towards the world? Because we can't serve two masters, can we? Nope. What do you invest an unhealthy amount of time into? I'm not asking these questions to make you feel ashamed. I'm asking them tonight because I want you to be self-aware. We're talking about obsession tonight to hopefully open your eyes a little bit to where you might think I'm passionate about something, and then now you realize, ooh, this is the point where it's an unhealthy loop. It's an obsession that I'm in. What we focus on has the ability to influence the direction of our entire bodies and minds, and that's a big deal. Nobody mentioned this tonight, but it could be video games, or social media, pornography, sex, alcohol, drugs, your phone, food, that person you really, really like, or whatever else I haven't thought to mention. Here's the point. Our biggest and most destructive obsessions always started somewhere small. And they grew, and they grew, and they grew. But with time and continued attention and devotion to that thing that we're obsessed on, they grow, and they grow, and they grow, and they grow into a monster. Right? We may think that we're the boss of our own actions, but when we begin to focus large amounts of time and attention on something, it can quickly become an obsession. And when that something or someone becomes an obsession, we are no longer in charge, but the obsession is. So let's turn the microphone around. How do you know when you become obsessed with something?
It's always on your mind.
It's always on your mind. We've talked about that a little bit. Let's flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Who wrote 1 Corinthians? Shout it out. Paul, thank you. 1 Corinthians. Paul was incredibly smart, right? He was influential. He was respected. He was passionate about following Jesus and spreading the good news of Jesus all over the world. Again, 1 Corinthians 10 is where we're going with this. Throughout his ministry, he wrote a lot of letters to other believers and members of the early church to encourage them, to guide them, to teach them, as they learned how to follow Jesus. How awesome is it when God lines up two messages in the same day, focusing on the same topic? Trent, this morning, if you came to first or second service, was talking about the freedom that we can have in Christ and the enslavement that we have when we have not realized the freedom that comes through the free gift of salvation. Trent did an amazing job this morning, preaching on freedom. And one of the things that Paul wrote about often was the idea of freedom. He wanted followers of Jesus to understand that they were free from the old laws and they didn't need to do anything special to earn God's love or to join the Jesus movement. Jesus came to give us freedom, and that is really, really good news. But Paul also had to help these early Jesus followers realize that just because you could do certain things doesn't mean that you should do certain things. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Someone stand up, please, and read it loudly. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Thank you, Thomas.
All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up.
Okay. You guys catch that? All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So you know the things you're obsessed with or possibly even addicted to. Some of them are big time obsessions, big time addictions. Those things that you're thinking about right now, as an unrepentant life habit, that's something that we need to pray to God to help us with. Those things themselves won't stop you from being loved by God or being welcomed into his family. There are no entrance fees or applications when it comes to following Jesus, but just because you can doesn't mean you should, okay? Your obsessions will never keep you from the love of Jesus, but they will keep you, if you have come to know the love of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, those obsessions that have now become sinful in nature, they will keep you from experiencing a full and abundant life that God has planned for you. And that's why your leaders are here. Your adult leaders are here because they see, because of years of experience, that man, God has a great plan. If we could just get out of the way and trust to him our complete lives, we can experience a full and abundant life that we can't when we are stuck holding on to these obsessions, right? That's not a punishment, not experiencing the abundant life that God has. It's just a natural consequence of not letting go of your sin. Let me read it again. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. What are some things that are lawful but not helpful? I could eat a 100-piece chicken nugget tray from Chick-fil-A. I would really love that. Probably wouldn't be helpful for me, right? What else? What things could I do but maybe shouldn't, right? It's lawful to do this, but I should. They're not helpful. Alcohol, that's a good one. I'm 21. I could drink if I wanted to. I don't, but I could. I don't really find that necessarily helpful for me. And from what you guys have heard about with fantasy football and with poker and other things, I know my personality to know that I probably, once I go all in on something, I go all in all the way, and that's not an area that I want to allow to become a part of my life. What else is something that is lawful but not helpful, Ryland? Taking stuff from people?
Taking stuff from people is called a cult.
taking stuff from people's carts. But you couldn't take it out of the store, right? Because that wouldn't be lawful. But you could just say, hey, no kidding, this happened in Hilton Head. I was there shopping. Madness, Saturday night when you first get to an island. And over the intercom, did I already tell this story? Maybe. Over the intercom. Would you please, all customers, would you please look down at your cart, and if you realize you have someone else's cart, will you please bring it to the front? Like, no joke, this happened. Someone else probably saw, hey, this person's already been here for an hour, and that looks like most of the stuff I want. And they just go to the checkout line. No kidding, it actually happened. So, kind of what you were saying, Rylan, you could look in somebody's cart. You could take something out of it. It could be a funny gag, but anyway, don't do that. What else? What else is lawful but not helpful? Any other one? Yes, Luke. Smoking, okay? Lawful. It's legal, right? Could you listen? Who is the absolute worst bad, like, influence musician that you can possibly think of in the face of the earth? Braden. Okay, Snoop Dogg is one of them. That's like my generation. Kanye West. That's like, you guys are going back in the day. Who? Doja Cat. Okay. Huh? Eminem. Miley Cyrus. Cardi B. Pretty bad. Oh, that's bad. I heard. I didn't think AJ knew about that. Yeah. So you could listen to Cardi B on repeat for 20 hours a day, but should you? No, 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 we shouldn't, right? Of course, you're allowed to be a little obsessed with a guy or a girl you like so much, but is it beneficial? I don't even think it's a good thing, right? Even that obsession you prefer that no one in this room knows about, or even your parents or your closest friend, even that obsession that you may not talk out loud about, but you're thinking about it right now, that habit, that obsession, that addiction will never disqualify you from God's love, but it's not the life that God wants for you. Now, if you are here, and I keep saying that, we are not to go on continuing our sin, surely not, right? Paul says, hey, if I sin, God's grace abounds even more, so shouldn't I sin more so God's grace can abound more? He says, surely not. Okay, so I'm not giving you guys a license to go and sin because it's not going to keep you from enjoying eternal life. You will, if you give in to these obsessions in this harmful way, you are not going to experience the abundant life that God has planned for you. So what do you do if you fear that you've been worshiping the God of obsession? We defeat the God of obsession when we shift our attention. Cold turkey, like shift my attention, 180, what's that called? Repenting of something that I saw, I'm putting my direction in somewhere new. So man, like a 180 from sin is what? What is the opposite of sin? Yeah, I'm like following God, right? Like, and I don't care what sin it is, but I'm doing a 180, I'm turning from it, and I'm turning my attention, my gaze is fixed upon God. If you want to defeat your obsessions, shift your attention to Jesus. This is kind of silly, but Luke Appleby, will you put up the creepy optical illusion? Oh, Luke Appleby, Luke Hansen's back there. Hey, what's that? It's a cat and a mouse. Okay, so maybe at first you saw a cat, but if you shift your attention just a little bit, you might see something else entirely. It's creepy. If your obsessions have become the boss of you, remember, you are still the boss of your own attention. You get to choose where you will place your attention and focus. Some of you are just now seeing the dog for the first time. Just kidding. There's not a dog. You all looked up there. That was awesome. That was awesome. Okay, I love you guys. All right, so if you are obsessed with fill in the blank, how can you shift your attention away? You can go ahead and get the creepy, hi, Luke Hansen. Good. Keep creepy cat gone, or creepy mouse. Oh, weird. Okay. So I want you guys to walk away not just with information. The goal of student ministry is to use God's word to hopefully transform your thinking, right? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only thing that's going to keep you from conforming to the patterns of the world is the transformation and renewal of your mind. And the way that you transform and renew your mind is by being in God's word yourself,
And if you'd like a little bit of extra help along the way, that's what we are here for. My goal for you in student ministry, if you're here for 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year, whatever it is, when you are graduating and moving on to the next stage of your life, I want you to understand what it looks like to study God's word on your own, because you are not always going to have an adult guiding you through this. I want to teach you how to do that. God wants you. And furthermore, I want to teach you guys, this is why we spend so much time serving, what it looks like to be plugged in and connected to serving in the local church. Those are priorities. And so I pray that you guys will also see that with me. All right. At what point, we're talking about youth leaders here. At what point should you ask for help in defeating your obsessions? It's kind of hard. That's a kind of hard answer, right? Sometimes we feel like, well, if I ask for help, that means I have to confess it to somebody. I mean, somebody else is going to know about it. It means I'm not strong enough to fix it on my own. Rylan, now? Love it. Thank you. At what point should you ask for help in defeating your obsessions? That is just like an awesome answer. Now. Some obsessions are more than obsessions. Some are addictions. And if your obsession is hurting you, hurting others, and you've tried and you just can't defeat it, you ask for help. We are with you. We are for you. We are here to help. And if that's you, and if you want to talk with me or Dan or Heather or any of the other leaders that will eventually be here starting on August 7th, there's a whole host of them. If that's you and you want to talk, come to me tonight. Let's talk. Let's start that conversation. Let's meet. Because I believe that God can give you victory in those areas. Matthew 22, 37, last thing I'm going to read tonight. And he said to them, let's go. Pharisees were saying, hey, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and all your mind. Not just part of it. Not just most of it. If there is something or someone in your life that is now getting, taking place of that, making that an impossibility, that loving the Lord with your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, right? We're talking about obsession, things that we constantly think about. This is fulfilling the great and first commandment. All right? So as we close, I'd like you to shift your attention right now, and I want to challenge you to pray with me. I'm going to be silent for about 15 seconds. And I really, if maybe this message hits close to home. Maybe there is something that you feel like, wow, I need to lay this at the Lord's feet and I need help in walking away from it. Pray to God to help you with that. I want to challenge you to join me as we pray. Don't just let your mind wander. Be fully present. Go to your Father. And shift our attention away from ourselves and from our surroundings and from our obsessions and shift them towards God. Ask for his help. Let's pray. Spend 15 seconds or so praying, asking the Lord, and then I'll close this in prayer. Lord, you deserve to be seated on the throne of our hearts, and so many times, whether it's through the God of self or stuff or worry or obsession, Lord, we have removed you from your rightful throne. And I pray that our hearts would be full of regret and a desire to repent and to turn from that. Lord, there's parts of us at times, though, that don't want to let go of our sin. And so, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit continues to stir in the hearts of everyone here, that we surrender fully our lives to you. Heavenly Father, I ask that you strengthen and embolden these students to declare your glory to the ends of the earth. Starting at school here in the next week or so, Lord, that they would see their campus as a harvest, as a field that's ripe or white for the harvest, as the scriptures say, that is just ready, and that your word, that they're not afraid to take the gospel into the schools. They think it's a dark place, but the gates of hell will not prevail against the offensive weapon of the gospel. So, Lord, I pray that you go before us, stir the hearts, prepare the way so the gospel is received. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.